Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing grand, son.
It is cold here in the Northeast, in the New Jersey area, but the playoffs are just heating up. Let's review the wild card weekend
here in the NFL. Wild.
It was wacky and wild.
But I'm the Roethlisberger without running back.
Not a lot happened.
Bell was the bomb.
Bell, they needed Bell to win that game, and
he
they didn't
the
have
deep
him.
Stuff. Deep stuff happened.
Yeah, and he's a better pass blocker than anyone else they had, and yeah,
it
showed.
Did you see that little number 13? I mean, how small was that guy?
Oh, Trey Archer, I believe his name is. Yeah, he's tiny. He's tiny. He's a scat back.
Linebackers were like ragdolling him. They were just one handed, like flinging him around.
Well, you know what? They had up a stat that John Harbaugh and the Ravens are 5-0. In the first round of the playoffs, which is very
fantastic.
And you know what?
How about his brother being there?
Yeah. Hey, root him on. He's in the college ranks, so it doesn't really matter what he does in the pros. He's just there to root on his brother. But yeah, the Ravens kind of, I wouldn't say surprised. I mean, everybody knew that game was going to be a bit of a slobber knocker, to borrow a term. Slobber knocker, because those two teams hate each other.
Well, we figured that without Bell, it would make a difference.
Yeah, Bell made a much bigger difference than previously thought. And yeah, I mean, he's a better pass blocker. He really opens up lanes. And without him, they were only held to field goals in the red zone. I mean,
now what about the Cardinals and the Panthers? That was too ugly to watch.
Well, first of all, the Cardinals have a record for postseason futility with the least amount of yards.
77.
And they actually had it beat. They had like 90-something yards. And then their last play was like a back-and-forth lateral, but it went for negative like 17 or negative 13 yards. So they actually, they screwed it up. They went from being, oh, we're better than, I think it was like the 53 Browns. Oh, the 53 Browns had like 86 yards. And they're like, oh, well, we beat that. And then they had a negative 13-yard play. So not only that, so they scored two touchdowns on offense, surprisingly. But those two drives consisted of, I think, 11 yards and 30 yards. And those were both off of turnovers.
Right.
So their defense, which was, you know, and rightly so, a strong part of that team. It kept them in the game, and it gave them the opportunity of 14
crazy.
Points.
I saw a long time. It looked like everybody was a 20 or a 30 in numbers.
Yeah.
I was like, they have the oddest...
Yeah, the breakdown of the... I mean, but hey, that's it just goes to show you. You need a defense to go deep into playoffs, but you need a quarterback to do anything in this league. If you don't have that, then you're in big
trouble.
Which
brings us to lack of quarterback, that we must be talking about Cincinnati. That guy just looked like he didn't want to be there.
Andy Dalton.
Well, why don't they coach him up on the sideline? The guy's just holding his hands on the front of his shoulder pads.
Who's going to do it? Marvin Lewis isn't going to do it.
He looks like a stepchild. He looks lost.
Well, I understand that. Look, I'll be honest. I like Andy Dalton. I think he's a good player.
In the regular season?
In the regular season, he's a good player. But unfortunately, this season, I mean,
he started doing something when all the pressure was off.
Well, of course. Sometimes that's how it goes. But
I think they need to get off that.
Well, I mean, this is the Bengals. How often do they change? Marvin Lewis has been employed since what?
He's 0-6 or something.
Yeah, since before Bush's second term, he was employed.
Anyway, it's the quarterback's problem. Anyway.
It is. And then in the last and probably the best game, although if you're a Detroit Lions fan, it wasn't a fun game. But the Lions-Cowboys full of suspense and conspiracy.
Yeah.
Some people might have it. Oh, some people might have it. What did you think of that no defensive pass interference? Well, let me ask you. Did you think it was pass interference on Hudgens?
Well, I mean, you know, here's the question. What's the difference between defensive holding and pass interference? We know the one is 5 yards, an automatic first down. The other one gets first down.
Is a spot foul.
Yeah. Okay. So the difference is It stops being defensive holding when the ball's in the air.
Oh, interesting.
Then it becomes pass interference.
Right.
But these always they always use like a second position of defensive holding.
Right.
Because the offense gets the first down anyhow.
Yeah.
And the defense didn't give up all those yards.
No, they didn't.
So it's like a compromise. But that's not accurate.
No.
But why did they lecture us before, the league lectured us before the season with preseason activity, that they would be calling all these things.
And they had been.
And then, at the last 5 weeks or so,
they kind of take the foot off the pedal.
Away, yeah.
Well,
now the question is, can they bring it back?
What do you mean, bring back what?
Like, well, if you don't throw a flag at all, it can't be argued that much.
Right.
So as soon as you do that, you bring now. What I'm saying is, going forward, do you think they'll be calling more penalties or less?
That's a good question.
And if you call defensive pass interference, there's a lot of offensive holding.
There is.
So are you going to call both of those, and this way it kind of balances it out? How do you go forward here?
Well, here's the thing. Well, first of all, to break it down for you, I mean, they always tell the refs, and they always let us know, let the game play out. Don't let the players, let the two teams decide the game. Don't let the referee decide the game.
That's not what I heard in preseason.
No, I understand, but I'm just going back to the old notion of let them play.
Yeah.
And especially in the playoffs, let them play. Right. You know, I understand during the regular season and all that stuff, but it's the playoffs. Do what you got to do.
You think they'll do that now?
I think they have been. And look, we got to start from the beginning. I say it wasn't pass interference. I'll tell you why.
What was it?
I think it was, well, see, here's the question. And I want to ask you this question because you're usually good about this. Because you usually say, oh, you know what? If you want to draw a pass interference, throw the ball a little short. Makes it look like the guy, you know,
up your back.
Exactly. So it makes it look better. Because if it's over your head, well, then it doesn't really matter.
Right.
But here's my thing. It hit him in the back. It hit Hudgens, the defensive player, in the back.
Well, then that's not catchable. Is that catchable?
I don't know.
Well, what do you mean you don't know?
That's why I'm asking your opinion. Do you think because if that ball was thrown shorter, then they would not have picked it up?
I do not think that because if you notice, the receiver was moving away from the ball. He wasn't moving towards it.
That's true.
If he would have made a move towards it,
yeah,
then he would have been blocked out and had then that would be an easier call.
Right.
So it's hitting the defender in the back, mm-hmm. and the offensive guy is going away from the defensive player.
Right.
So it looks like he's not making an attempt at the ball.
And from what it,
but
from
the but when you saw the jersey being pulled back, you saw that stop.
Yes,
frame?
I did. Yes.
Okay. What do you call that?
That would probably be defensive pass interference.
Right, because the ball's in the air.
Right. Okay. Now, the other thing is, obviously, that's easy. That's much easier for hindsight is 20/20. It's a lot easier for it to see in a freeze frame. Obviously, when you're standing there watching, if you happen to just be watching at that very moment and see that, you know, that's why I don't get paid those measly bucks to do that job.
Right.
But I think if the ball was thrown a little, I think something has to do with the fact that the ball hit him in the back. The other thing, though, is, and my biggest issue is, in baseball, and I drew this correlation to some friends of mine.
Okay.
In baseball, when they say over the loudspeaker, now coming in as pinch hitter is so-and-so, and as soon as that guy's in, whether he goes up to the plate or not, he's part of the game, and even if they remove him. So my thing is, as soon as they announced it over the public, over
that
the PA, that it happened.
That made it official?
To me, that makes it official. And I think that in a few years, maybe not at the end of this year, but maybe next year, you'll see the competition committee in the NFL make that ruling. Well, if you announce it, it stays.
Well, let's go back to a baseball thing.
Okay.
When they do umpiring, they use the whole crew.
That is true.
But in football, it's a collective bargaining agreement that they have a point score deal, and then they amass these things at the end with no working together all year.
Yeah, and
so you know, how odd is that?
Well, they brought that up in the broadcast. Mike Pereira, Fox brought him into.
You know what comes out to me? Merit pay. Are you in favor of that? Is you going to pick winners and losers, or are you going to educate the whole group?
Right.
You know, to be competent.
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
Yeah, so that's the question. So that's what they have to live with.
But it's interesting that Mike Pereira had brought up the fact that, you know,
that he was on a bus with a bunch of scantily clad women in August that was documented, filmed, and
And that no.
No, that's not what he talked about.
And that was with Dallas.
Right. Well, it also goes all the way back to Dallas because it's, you know, America.
Well, it was their bus, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. But I'm
just saying.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is that he brought up the point.
So the wolf that is minding the hen house. And you want me to make heads or tails of this.
He brought up the point that this was a crew that hasn't worked together.
Yeah, by
so
the
there's going to be issues. I understand that.
They all know about it.
I know.
It's not a mystery.
I know. I understand that. So I'm just saying it just so when you bring it up.
So when
it
really counts,
happens.
We make sure we have incompetent people.
Well, I think that they do need to. I think crews need to stay together. I understand that.
Now, what if they eventually goes to, you got a whole bunch of these stripes up in the booth somewhere, and then you got a headset on the field, and these guys really don't call anything anymore.
Right.
And they call it like we see it and just whisper in people's ears.
It could happen. I wouldn't be surprised if it does. It's already sort of going that way because it goes back to, they're not looking under the hoods to see the replay. They're just hearing, oh, what'd you guys see? Oh, yeah, it's totally, all right, let's go with that. So
the more you take their authority away on the field, the more it doesn't matter what they call.
Right.
So that's bad. They're not empowered.
Yeah, exactly. Now, obviously, if the Cowboys, by some chance, go on and win the Super Bowl, everybody's going to talk about this. But if they lose next week, it's not really going to matter. Because nobody really had Detroit winning this week.
No.
Let alone going in, because they would have to go to Seattle.
Right.
Nobody would have them.
What about
Sue?
He's fun to watch.
He's interesting. I tell you what, he's
a load.
He's a bit of a problem, but I tell you what, off, you know, with his antics, but
that makes him make me want to watch.
Exactly.
When I hear Lions, I want to see his 90 out.
When
there.
He's in the game, you want him on your team.
That's some run stuffer, huh?
Hey, that's right. And just so happens he's a free agent.
Did you see that fourth? Was that fourth down on the goal line where they went at him? Nothing happened.
Yeah,
and
nothing
they went off him.
Yeah, they tried. And that's the other thing. Even though they didn't, so they picked up the flag of this. Now it's fourth and one.
Yeah.
Do you agree with Caldwell punting?
No.
No. Even if it wasn't a shank. Because it was a shank, it went 10 yards.
That made it look really
right. That made it look extra bad. Now don't forget, this is a guy who, when he was with the Colts, pretty much the reason he got fired was that playoff game against the Jets, when let the clock.
Well, you
run
know, just looking at the hindsight thing, it really was a tale of two halves.
It was. Boy, Detroit owned
so,
the first quarter.
So, I mean, they really
the
ragdolled him. They threw Romo around. You see him, like, pounding the ball on the ground?
He got very upset. I tell you what, though, he is smart when he takes the sacks. He just gets down. He doesn't try to run around. Yeah. He doesn't try to
But you know what's
it.
Fun to watch when I'm watching Murray? Because, you know, he's run a lot this year, and a lot of times I've seen backs like that. I'm trying to think what his name was for Baltimore that had a zillion.
Lewis?
Yeah, Jamal Priest Lewis. But at
Jamal
the very
Lewis.
End of the year, he was torn.
Yeah, broken
and
down.
And this guy is not. And he has a slow step looking for the hole. Then he just cuts it directly north and south with power.
Yeah, he's very
and
good.
And that is amazing because on that stretch play, you're going lateral. And you really can't match that return that he brings to it. Now, he doesn't cut across the grain. He doesn't cut back.
No.
He just goes north and south. And it's very impressive.
He is very good. Well, that leads us into this week, divisional weekend here. So we start off, we have Baltimore at New England. Please let Baltimore win.
Well, I think that's come to an end.
Which one? Baltimore's
winning.
Winning?
I do. I really think the best bet this weekend is New England spotting only 6.5. Here I'm looking at one that's showing 7.
Right.
But, that's the line. And you know they rested people for for Buffalo.
Right. Oh, they did. Hey, they gave up a loss.
You saw that. You saw Brady being pulled after he was slapped around.
Yeah, sure.
You know, the offensive line, he rested people. He rested them to practice this week.
Yeah.
Practice late. So, you know, he's got all the pieces together. I don't think people have an answer for Revis.
No,
not really.
Or
Gronk.
No, well, nobody's
okay,
got an answer
so,
for Gronk. The only thing that's got an answer for Gronk is Mother Nature.
This
broken
is a
arms.
Different team. This is a different group.
No, it is. I'll be honest. I mean, look, if there was any team that I would want to have a chance to beat New England, to beat Baltimore. Unfortunately, but it's too early in the playoffs.
But Flacco does have the best. I mean, I think he has seven playoff wins. And they're road wins.
They're road wins. They've gone into New England twice. They almost beat him.
Yes.
That one year. That,
so that was a missed field goal?
That was a missed field goal.
Yeah.
That would have done it. And then the following year for the championship, they went in there and they beat him. So that's early on Saturday. And then we have Carolina at Seattle.
Well, if you don't like scary movies and all that, don't watch this game.
It's going to be bad. Now, do you think that Carolina's defense will make it interesting?
No.
Because just the way they've been playing.
But those linebackers, 58-59. Wow. That's a group.
Luke, I was forgetting how to pronounce it.
Kuechly?
Kuechly. Or something, I forget. But he's very good.
He's a bomb. So is Davis, I think, 58.
Yeah.
Well, actually, linebacker's going to be that game. Both sides.
I could see them focusing on Lynch, but I think Wilson could get around.
Well, you know, they played the last 2 years, and it was like 13-9, and I don't know.
Oh, Carolina and Seattle?
12-7 or something. Yeah, but it's both times been at Panthers.
Right, this is the first time.
This year and last year.
Right, so now it's up in Seattle.
Right, where things change.
Yeah, it's going to be
really interesting. Well, you know what it is, too? Like, you see the teams out there. Like, I think an interesting matchup here is the Colts, because I didn't really give them much to do. I didn't think they could run the ball.
No.
I didn't think, but this Luck is amazing.
Luck
this
does a lot of stuff.
Really, you want to get behind him and have fun for like the next 15, 20 years.
And I wouldn't think of him as a runner. And he had a really good run.
He can do it all.
He can do it all.
And real student of the game.
He does. He does a lot, though. Like, unfortunately, his team doesn't pick up enough slack for him.
But he does look like a caveman, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, he does. Just any sort of picture you see of him, he looks very goofy, very doof-like.
But Stanford.
Stanford educated. And,
smart guy.
Caveman.
And puts the ball right where you need it to be. See when he was, like, being tackled and fell forward and just released it at a high point? Just amazing. I mean, he drops it in people's arms.
That is quite good.
And that defense was, that team shocked me. I really didn't expect that performance.
Now they go to Denver. Denver hasn't lost at home since the Ravens in the playoffs, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was. They haven't lost a game in Denver. Is this the week that it happens?
That's a great question. The question is, has Manning slipped? Like, has the league caught up to him, I guess, would it be?
It's a possibility.
Well, he has no mobility. That offensive line looked real bad.
It did.
And you know they've been running the ball a lot, and that's for a reason.
Right.
They don't need him to throw it 50 times.
But they've been running successfully.
Yeah, they
that's
have.
The thing.
You know, does that continue?
I think it does.
Because, you know, without mobility and you're on a spot, I mean, he's... You know, he seems to be slipping. What do you say?
I think...
Trending down would be the word.
It would, but this might be that sort of gunslinger's last hurrah sort of stuff. I could definitely...
His playoff record is what?
It's spotty.
Like 9-10 or
something like that. He's under 500. Believe me, I wish it was higher, but, you know, I'm a Manning guy.
But it's a classic because it's you know, the passing of the torch in a way.
Absolutely.
And plus they were, you know, drafted by same teams.
Yeah, the Colts.
And yeah, so it's what was and what is. And
yeah, and they have a good relationship.
A lot of drama.
Sure. I think Denver will come through, though. I think the Colts need it. More on their team. They need more. They
if
just need
the
more.
Colts
yes.
win
yeah.
in Denver.
Yeah.
Do you give them a real shot to go to the Super Bowl?
No.
No?
No, because I don't think they...
New England will beat them?
If New England gets past Baltimore, the Colts would have to go to Baltimore, to New England.
Well, do you
remember a
few years ago when Flacco went to Denver and beat Brady, Manning, and went to New England and beat Brady and all that? You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
And then they beat who in the Super Bowl?
They beat the Niners.
Yeah, and who was the quarterback then?
Kaepernick.
Okay. So he just worked his way right through everything. So why can't Luck do that?
He can't play defense. That's the only thing. He can't play defense, and the Colts' defense is a little weaker.
But he doesn't give up, and it's like
no, he doesn't. He doesn't. But
they'll give up 30, and he'll score 35. Or
I just, no.
Not feeling
no,
it.
No, I'm not feeling not this year, at least. Not this year. And then, of course, also, that's the late game on Sunday. But the early game on Sunday, the last game of the weekend, Dallas at Green Bay. Dallas, 8-0 on the right. road. Green Bay, 8-0 at home.
Right. It's hard to go against Green Bay at home.
It's incredibly hard. It's incredibly hard to go against them.
But is he going to play the whole game?
Who? Romo or Rodgers?
No, Rodgers.
I think Rodgers will. Rodgers, unless it's the fourth quarter and it's...
Some of his greatest plays are when he's moving around. He'll be moving around?
I think so. But, yeah, it's really hard to go against Green Bay. So, let's see. So, you like New England, Seattle, Green Bay, Colts? For this weekend?
I'm definitely going to be rooting for Luck. That's for sure.
But you don't, you're not feeling it?
Yeah,
either?
I mean, I wouldn't be betting that game.
Right.
But of course I want Luck to win.
And you like New England giving six as your
like
best
that.
Bet?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I think this is time to straighten the ledger. They're different squads now.
No, I think they are. Absolutely they are. I, of course, like Baltimore. Yeah. Over New England. But
well,
that's the only thing we change.
You're a Brady hater.
Well, I can't stand him. And again, if there's any team that I feel confident enough to go into New England, because there's no other team there in the AFC that I feel confident going into New England. The Super Bowl is a different thing.
Because
it's
of what
site.
Baltimore's done in the past.
Because of what they've done in the past. They're not afraid of it. Look, they've done it twice. And
but
it's,
how big is revenge factors in the NFL?
It's big.
And, you know, one thing about what the reason I like New England, because, I mean, they beat the point handicapping. I mean, they've scored 142 and then covered the next week. I mean, it's unheard of.
Yeah. No, it's crazy what New England can do. But I'm just saying, Baltimore, they're not afraid of the road. They actually welcome it.
Well, Flacco just turns on some kind of button.
Absolutely. But even on the defense, Terrell Suggs and all these other guys, they welcome it. They want it, so... I give them all that credit. So that's football for this week. The other big news this week, of course, was the Hall of Fame.
Oh, huge.
Announcement.
Martinez. I was a big Martinez fan.
Martinez. Oh, Pedro. Well, there's four going
Pedro,
in.
Pedro. Somebody better than
I know,
him?
But you said Martinez. There's a couple Martinezes on the ballot.
But only one got
no,
in.
Well, that's why you say Pedro. There's only one Pedro. Okay. I mean, there's plenty of other Pedros, but there's only
now
one.
Now you followed him with the Expos?
He had he was wonderful with the Expos, especially.
What I liked about him, he could also hit.
Yeah, well, first of all, he's a headhunter, but he was never afraid to get into the batter's box.
What about his weight? Small guy.
Small guy, fluctuated once or twice, but he was always very, very slight of frame.
Amazing hard thrower at his body weight. I don't remember what it was, but I'm going to guess 170.
170 was his body weight, yeah. And his fingers were very long and very flexible. They bent back a lot. So on fastballs and curveballs, he got incredible
usually
movement.
Usually that's an advantage for pickpockets. The school that is seven bells.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, with the Expos, his best season was 97 when he was 17-8 with a 1.90 ERA.
It was fun in Boston?
He was a lot of... That's where he was... He won back-to-back Cy Youngs. I mean... This one season was 23-4 in 99, 23-4 with a 2.07 ERA, and he had 313 strikeouts.
What's his career batting average?
His batting average. You want to look at his batting average?
Sure.
We can look at his batting
average. I mean, this guy had all the
his career batting average was .99. So he had 43 hits in 443 at-bats. So
one every 10 times.
One, yeah, sound about right.
So every third game.
Never hit a home run, but he had...
At
least one double in the years he batted. So that's pretty good. He had a couple triples. So that's pretty good.
Exactly.
So Pedro Martinez goes in. Randy Johnson, the big unit, goes in.
How classy is Randy Johnson?
He's a good guy.
When he says Edgar Martinez should be in the Hall of Fame.
Edgar Martinez should be in the Hall of Fame.
Now, isn't that great?
Well, that's
why. Talking about him, talking about a teammate.
Well, yeah. Well, Edgar Martinez should be in, but, you know, we can talk about that in a second.
So when you're at a big unit.
Yeah.
Then you got a big heart, too.
Absolutely. He's a stand-up
guy. He's a likable guy.
Yeah, he's a stand-up guy. John Smoltz goes in, and also Craig Biggio. So four.
Well, Biggio, I'm sure you're a fan of him.
Biggio's...
He almost made it last year, didn't he? You thought he should have got in.
He probably should have, but it's just crazy what's happening with the voting.
What about Piazza?
Piazza should have been in, And he, there's no reason why he's not. I'll say this much. I was disappointed again that he didn't make it this year. He came the closest at 69.9%. You need 75% of the
votes. But, you know, I'm trying to think of my lifetime great catchers, you know, that could hit.
Sure.
I mean, bench.
Sure.
You know, but Piazza's up there.
Piazza's got the most home runs by a catcher.
I mean, he's not Yogi Berra, but
he was a rookie of the year. He was 12-time All-Star. He batted over 300 several seasons. So there's no reason that he shouldn't be in. But I will say this.
And the Roger Clemens thing, he was classy with that.
He was classy. And he was just he's just a great guy. Like, he's a drummer. And it's not just all baseball for him.
He's a drummer.
He's a drummer. He's not all baseball for him. He's a big rock and roll guy.
He has a Playboy wife, doesn't he?
I believe so, yes. And I think they have two very pretty little girls. Very nice. So now that they're four, which is the biggest class since like 53 when like DiMaggio and a bunch of other guys got in. So now that there's all these guys in, there's nobody ahead of Piazza to like wait behind. Next year, Griffey is the only one that you could say in the words of these writers who vote for this thing.
He'll go in.
That Griffey's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why Piazza won't get in next year.
Oh, that's great.
So he will get in next year. But the problem I have is now the writers are, it's just getting to a point where it's ridiculous when they say he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. What does it matter? Is he in the Hall of Fame or is he not in the Hall of Fame?
Right.
So when they talk about, he doesn't deserve to be a first ballot, stop with that.
But he had some amazing years with the Dodgers.
Piazza had great years.
Catcher's hands usually get beat up, and they have trouble hitting. I mean, this guy was amazing.
And the pitching staffs did very well with him. He called better games.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've changed my mind with the Hall of Fame thing, keeping all these guys out like Bonds. And, the feds couldn't really get something to stick on them. They have all this, but, you know, It doesn't matter. I mean, far more guys are doing it than I ever thought at the time.
Yeah.
I thought maybe 5% of the, but it turns out, who knows, maybe 50. It's like, it's a part of history. I mean, how do we just put, it's like taking Joe Paterno's wins away.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we didn't watch those games. Like, we didn't know they happened.
Taking away Heisman's, they vacated.
Yeah, so
no,
you're gonna
I agree with it. It's stupid. History should be fluid. He needs to go with it. And so I think that, first of all, they extended it from 10 years to 15 years on the ballot.
Right.
So they're trying to give that extra time for Bonds and Clemens to get in. And there's going to be a point where it just turns over because there are these, I just don't understand.
Well, I'm thinking, too, with Pete Rose, I've kind of rethunk it all.
Pete Rose should be in.
Is that a word, rethunk?
Yeah. It is now. Pete Rose should be in.
Right.
All these steroid guys because
it is good for the game.
It's good for the game, and you cannot deny what these people did on the field.
You mean like breaking out a collarbone of Felix Mion for the Mets?
Yeah, something like that. But
that's Charlie Hustle.
Well, that is true. But just the fact that what they did on the field is what it's all about.
Right.
When you look at somebody like Lawrence Taylor in the NFL, Lawrence Taylor didn't have the best stuff off the field, but boy, when he put on those pads, he was the best there was. And you can't hold, they didn't hold him out of the NFL Hall of Fame because of what he did.
Well,
there are
much
the
different
field.
Standards for the NFL.
Right, I understand that. But what I'm just saying, if we're just talking about Hall of Fames, when you think of the Hall of Fame, all Hall of Fames are the same. They are the great. The place where great players or great people go.
Yeah, it should be for on the field.
Exactly. So only look at the on the field stuff.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. You know, I mean, just anything. I'm all in favor of anybody coming up with a new idea of how to vote.
But is the controversy good because it keeps people talking? I think when they stop talking, it's over.
Well, that's true. But at the same time,
justice.
Right. But are the people who are talking doing the voting? Or are they just sitting there and going, no? I will say this, though. 51% of the ballots that were filled out had the maximum of 10 choices. So there weren't any. So there were less than 50% that went 1, 2, 3, and that's it.
Now,
or 8.
If Ty Cobb's antics were known to the public today, if he played today and he said
he would not be in the
Hall
of Fame. He would not even be playing.
He's suspended.
He'd be suspended. He'd have to go to some sort of therapy. He'd have to do all sorts
Detroit
of PR stuff.
Lion tackle Sue of baseball.
Yeah, he Yeah, I would say that
it was
Sue,
mean spirited.
Sue is continuing the legacy of Ty Cobb.
But
I'd say,
he,
in Detroit.
He's good at it, Sue, because when he's stepping on the calf there with one leg and then the other, he's not looking around like is somebody watching me.
No.
And then to say that his leg was numb because
it was
of the cold, and then who knew, right?
Yeah, really.
And then just pay and play.
It's silly. It's rather ridiculous. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of Everyman Sports. Thank you very much for joining me, Dad.
Oh, you're welcome, son.
And we'll see you next week, and we prepare for Championship Sunday.
Exciting. In the cold.
In the cold. So we'll see you then. Take care.
Bye-bye.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.